What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight. Man, I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented and accomplished jazz guitarist. His second album, titled Positive Energy, which included the smash hit single High Noon, reached number 3 on the smooth jazz single charts. And he has recently released another timeless CD titled Global Kiss. Please welcome and put your hands together for jazz guitarist and vocalist Steve Oliver. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, Spud?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good.
Excellent. This is great to talk to you, and thanks for doing this. This is wonderful.
Man. My pleasure, man. I mean, you are now added to my guitar hero on my wall, so I definitely have to talk to you, man.
Oh, you're very kind. Thanks. Wow.
You know, Steve, for a lot of people that haven't heard about you or know about what it is that you do, describe to me, give me some details how and when you started in the music business and you've evolved into this, you know, seasoned musician.
Yeah, you know, music happened for me very young. I was, my first thought actually as a kid was in preschool, just wanting to share music. I remember used to bring music to my, you know, my preschool classroom to share, you know, just for, you know, people to hear. There's something about it. I always loved sharing music with people and with friends and kids, and it just never went away, you know. And then I just knew, you know, from a very young age that I wanted to do music. It was just totally embedded. And it's funny because no one in my family plays anything. They listen to very little music, which is kind of ironic. But I just loved the passion and feeling that you get from, you know, good music, and always followed that passion, and it's driven me to, you know, become a, you know, recording artist, a songwriter, a producer. Just love all the aspects of making music, and so it was quite young, you know. And I went through high school, did the jazz bands, did the, just went through the whole spectrum. I was in choir, did anything that had to do with music. I was involved in from elementary school all the way through high school.
You know, I don't know what it is about music, man, but, you know, you and I, we kind of grew up the same way, man. It's just something that, you know, sticks on your mind day in and day out, no matter what it is. I mean, even if it's not in your genre or category which you specialize in, man, it's just something that you just want to be a part of and, you know, to see what's happening on the other side of it. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, music's very powerful, and it just holds a lot of special meaning for people, you know, of time. When you hear a great song, you remember it with, you know, where you were at, you know, where you were staying, or if you're at school or you're in the car, you remember music, and it always correlates with where you were at the time. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. Yeah.
It is. It's like, man, it's like a spell, pretty much.
You're totally under hypnosis or something.
Yeah, no, I totally. I'm a big firm believer in, you know, being a trance. You know, when you're in a zone, you know, on the creative side of music, and, you know, being influenced, you know, by so many other seasoned musicians and veterans out there. Man, who were some of your musical influences really kind of mapped a career path for you musically that you wanted to kind of mirror their patterns of developing into a great musician, a great guitarist? You know, there's so many other guitar heroes that are out there, man. Who are some of your major influences?
Oh gosh, you know, I just always loved everything. You know, I listen to everything, even to this day. I have like 5 iPods filled. I mean, I'm that addicted. So when I tour, I'm on the road, I got my whole collection, you know, and 5 iPods. So I listen to every genre you can imagine, because I believe everything has something to offer, you know. So I'm not one of these closed-minded type artists. I just love music and do different things. But growing up, I mean, gosh, I remember my babysitter used to play Santana. It just, something about that music was so global to me. It was, it just hit, you know, with all the percussion, you know, the album Abraxas, she used to play that all the time. And so that really stuck a chord in me, that album. And of course, like, you know, the Beatles' White Album, I listened to, believe it or not, Iron Butterfly, Inagata DeVita. She had this amazing collection. And from that standpoint, you know, I just started oh, I gotta buy this stuff. And, you know, I was like 4 and 5 years old, so, yeah. And I totally remember it like it was yesterday, you know.
Oh, totally.
So it made an impact on me, you know, so strong. And ever since then, you know, I've just grown and went from, you know, the jazz, classical, world music, electronica, new age. I mean, it just runs the gamut. I love it all.
Oh, totally. You know, you've toured and played with a lot of guys out there in the industry, in particularly Steve Reed of the Riffingtons, the drummer Steve Reed. Man, how was that experience? I mean, getting that firsthand generation of, you know, legendaryism, I call it. You know, just being around that, man.
Oh, if it wasn't for Steve Reed, I mean, he kind of helped put me on the contemporary jazz map. I mean, I was living up in the San Francisco Bay Area before I moved down. I'm in Southern California now, but I used to do a one-man band show, you know, with my guitar, synths, and all these things, and my singing. I used to do a whole show just by myself, and I actually got a chance to open up for Bamboo Forest, which was Steve's band, and it was all the Riffingtons members in the band. So I was just like, oh, I'm such fans, you know, the Riffingtons and Steve Reed and his percussion work, and so I was tickled pink to be able to open up for him. And so I opened up the show, and after the show, Steve comes up to me afterwards and goes, I want to get your number, and I'm looking for a guitarist and a vocalist for my project. And I told him, well, I'm also a songwriter. I mean, I have a bunch of songs if you would like. So he goes, oh, that's great. So it ended up, you know, I sent him all these tunes, you know. Back then it was on CDs, you know.
Yeah.
And so I sent him, like, you know, 20 tunes. And he used, like, 13 of the songs on one of his Telarc releases, Mysteries, in the late 90s.
Wow.
And that's kind of how 97 is when it came out, Steve Reed Band Before Us. Now, it's hard to find now, but it was on Telarc. Great record. And it ended up, you know, I used all of my songs on that album. And so from there, it kind of, you know, he launched me. And just from playing with him, and I met everybody through him, you know, from Marc Antoine, great guitarist. I mean, Jeff Koshua was in the band, who's an amazing sax player. Dansky at the time, great keyboard player, who is now Britney Spears's and American Idol kind of a keyboard player, program director.
Sure.
So I met everybody through Steve, and was really quite thankful for that, and thoroughly enjoyed the road stories that we toured with. And I mean, it's just funny stuff. I mean, it was just a great time, you know.
Wow. It's amazing, man. You know, that those kind of experiences, man, I mean, I'm sure you're going to cherish, and just, it just lives with you forever. Not only being around such a seasoned musician like Steve, but like you say, man, those experiences and building those songs together, and just having your shot as a newbie working with somebody as seasoned as Steve, man, that's an experience.
Yeah, I know. And what was really great was he was open, you know. He was open to work with new people. I mean, he wasn't closed at all, and he saw my passion. He saw my devotion to music, because it's 24 hours a day, 100%. So, and he is very much the same, you know. I'm very much into sound, and he engineered and all this project. So I learned a lot from the engineering part from Steve, the way he mics things, and the way he worked, you know, as an engineer. And he's an amazing mixer. He did it all. So I was kind of like going to school at the same time while we're working on all these projects. And I ended up recording my first two solo albums at his studio, First View and then Positive Energy, which was a big success. So I did them both there at the Sonic Jungle, Steve Reed's studio, too. And he was very involved and played on those albums also.
Wow. You know, you're coming from an analog background, Steve, and, you know, merging into the DAW world where we live in now, some of us do. I mean, we're pretty much doing everything in the box. Give me your pros and cons of both formats and what you're using currently on your new albums.
Oh, you mean genre-wise? Are you talking...
Just in your basic recordings, I mean, you've started in the early 90s for recording. I mean, there were no such thing as DAWs. Yeah, I mean, everything was probably going to 2-inch tape, maybe some D88, Tascam D88s, ADATs.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so.
You're right. You know, when we did those first, I did four albums. I did two with Steve Reed, and then two of my solo albums. and they were all done on 48-track analog.
Wow.
If you can believe that. And that was like late 90s, going, you know, 2000, 2001, 2002.
Sure.
And it was right when the digital was really starting to happen. You know, it was just starting, you know, just coming aboard. And, you know, there's always been that, you know, the analog pro digital kind of world, you know, that everybody's was, you know, what do you like best, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, you can't beat the digital for the editing capabilities and, you know, just all the ease,
yeah,
you know, of recording. Where I remember, you know, working with Steve at his studio and the channel would go out and we're hitting it just to get it to work, you know. So we're like hitting it. It's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, oh, it's not working. And then when you're doing a mix on analog, I mean, you had the patch bay with about 50 cables, you know, from each, you know, that you're sending all the effects to this channel.
Oh, yeah, it was just, returns, oh, yeah.
Oh, that set, it was insane, you know, and you couldn't, like, of you know, the digital age, God, it's just you load up a new tune and it remembers everything, your effects, your, and then you physically had to take off everything for each new song that you wanted to work on. And it was just, I mean, wow, it took forever with analog in that way, you know. Now I totally, you know, but I like the sound it got, you know,
right,
with analog. But the digital age, it is much easier to work in, you know, time-consuming, you know, especially with the patch bays and all the stuff you don't have to deal with.
Oh, totally. You know, I mentor a lot of up-and-coming producers locally here, man, and I always talk about my days of pulling up a session from one artist, and probably 4 or 5 hours later, I have another session coming in. And, you know, I tell them, I said, man, to find out what tracks I had on each channel, I had to take masking tape, stretch it across the mixer, and write down my instruments and vocals on which, you know, just because there were so many, you know, variations, different mixes, man, I had to get some sort of system. You know, there were no typing in, man. It's just totally different than analog world.
Oh, yeah. And then all the, you know, you had to have all the track sheets.
Yes.
Of everything. You had to write down every move you made and on paper, you know, on the track sheet. So you wouldn't, you know, from song to song. And, you know, it was a lot of preparation.
Oh, totally.
And then, you know, when you tear it down, you just hope you didn't forget something, you know.
So in the DAW, what are you using? This? Are you on Pro Tools, Logic, or Nuendo? What are you tracking on, though?
You know, it's funny. I'm using Sonar.
Sonar? Oh, Cakewalk. Okay.
Yeah, I'm using Cakewalk because, you know, I've been a Roland user for years. I love their, you know, 1680s, 2480s. You know, they're kind of like, you know, one-stop shop kind of, you know, units, you know,
it
recording unit studios. And so Roland and Cakewalk went in together in the last couple of years. And I've just been a Roland user, so I went that way because, you know, with Roland went over with Cakewalk. So, and I knew a couple of producers that were using Sonar. And in fact, we did my Radiant album on completely on Sonar. And I fell in love with, you know, just using it. It was very easy to use.
Sure.
And so now I just bought the brand new, I'm using the Sonar V Studio. And it's actually, I can control everything, all the hard, you know, with the hardware, I could control all the software with physics, because I still like the old school, you know, physical, you know, knobs and faders. And so I love that. And so I loved about this package that you can actually use both, you know, you know, the hardware with the software, and it works together. You know, it's not, you know, you're not using the mouse all the time.
Exactly.
So, you know, you could mute and do everything right there on the board, like you're like old school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I kind of dug that, and it's been winning a lot of awards, actually, for the usability of it, and in fact, I'm recording another new project as we speak right on it, and I did my Global Kiss album on it.
Oh, wow. You know, with your with the Sonar setup, you're using it as your DAW. What are you using for converters and pre's and things and sound cards?
You know, I'm not using anything. I'm basically, Sonar comes with an I.O. bot, you know, it's called the VS700. That I run, you know, everything in there, and I'm not really using any outboard gear. A lot of times what I do is I don't mix my projects here. So what I do is I just get everything recorded well, and then, you know, I take all the eternal effects that I have already in Sonar, I turn them off, and I don't really use the effects, and then I give them to my mixer, who mixes everything in his world. So basically, I just get a good, nice levels and hot levels, make sure they're not distorted and stuff, and then I just send everything to him.
Okay, so you're doing your pre-production on your studio, then taking it to somewhere else for post, then?
Exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. And, I could mix on my own, but I really believe in having another, person give their opinion on, and then sending it to me, and then I could listen to it and hear their interpretation of the mix, the way they hear the song. So I really enjoyed that collaboration, because, you don't want to end up having to do everything. I think when you get other people involved, you get other perspectives.
You do, yeah. Definitely have to have a consistent camp, I think, on your CDs.
Oh, yeah. George Landris is the guy who mixes all my albums. He's mixed every single one. So we have such a great working relationship. And I met him through Steve Reed, actually, when I was working. He was, I met everyone through Steve. I met my wife through Steve Reed.
Wow.
It's just amazing. But, yeah, George Landris was an engineer for Steve. When Steve would do his percussion overdubs and stuff, he always brought in George to engineer him. And so I met George through that process, and then ended up using George to engineer my first two albums. And then from then, I've just been pretty much engineering everything and then sending them to George to mix. And it's been a great working relationship because he knows me so well, and he knows what I'm going after. And it's almost like, unspoken stuff. He just does his thing.
Totally. Now your new CD, Steve, Global Kiss, man. Let's talk about that, man. I'm really interested in finding out how you put these CDs together, because you do great work. You definitely have a sonic signature when I listen to your playing. I mean, it has a lot of jazz influence, but it also has a lot of Latin influence in your playing. And blending those two together, man, is just an unstoppable combination. Do you have a particular team? I know you're doing a lot of pretty much all of your production, but do you have a writing team or other studio musicians that get along and play and record with you on the CDs, or is this pretty much all of you by yourself?
Yeah, I pretty much write everything myself.
Wow.
I really spend a lot of time in arranging and songwriting because I believe in songs. It's really, to me, about the songs. The melodies and the chord, changes. And I'm just really into that. And I've always been I've always looked at songs as the creation. And then I just adapt my guitar playing to the song. I don't really think about, I could play this lick. I hear melodies all the time. I'm a real melody guy.
Sure.
And you could probably hear that in my music. It's very melody driven, and even in the solos, and I keep solos kind of short, because I would rather hear a melody, and a lot of times, that's just the way I hear things when I'm writing. And so I pretty much do all the writing in my studio, and then I write charts out and give them to the musicians that I get involved in. Like in this last album, I wanted to bring back a lot of live elements to this Global Kiss project. So I went into the studio with a drummer and a bass player and Tom Schumann on keyboards, and we just played live and recorded it live in the studio.
Wow.
And it was just really, really nice to work that way, because I like the spontaneity of playing live together, and you can create magic happens,
Oh, totally.
And so that was a big thing on this, the big idea that I had for the Global Kiss project was to have live playing.
One thing I want to point out with your solos, I mean, you brought that up, and which I want to talk about it a little bit. Your solos, to me, they're not really busy where you're losing me as a listener. It's still memorable, and it's still short enough where you almost can sing along with it. The melodies and the arrangements are memorable to me. And sometimes I'll hear a lot of players, and it's so busy and it's fancy, but is it really placed within a song great? And your solos and your melodic arrangements really fit well, and it sits really well within the mix, man.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks for saying that. That's very much what I take pride in, is as a song, because I want the song to speak. I mean, solos are a part of, but they're they're not everything to me. I mean, I would really, it's all about, to me, the melody and the vibe, you know, the vibe of the overall tune.
Yeah.
And not getting in the way of that, exactly what you just said. I mean, I love hearing that as a listener, you know. I'm a huge fan. You asked me guitar influences, and I never did say, but Pat Metheny is a huge, I mean, he is a huge influence on me, and he's all about composition.
Sure.
You know, in the way he does things. I mean, he does a lot of improvising, too. But he's all, you know, the arrangements and the way he puts together, and, you know, and I love a great guitarist named Ralph Towner. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's of a band called Oregon. He's been around for, 30, 40 years. He's a nylon guitar player, and he's all about composition, and he plays keyboards, too, and he's just, I mean, the tunes he writes, to me, that's what, you know, I love about him is the song, the pieces that he writes, and so I'm really into compositions for the guitar more than just, you know, someone burning.
Yeah.
You know, and the song doesn't really say anything, you know? So
right.
I've always gravitated towards that. I just picked up the new Jeff Beck, and again, I mean, he is on a whole nother. Yeah. Oh, man. And, you know, just with the orchestra and the way he plays so, you know, melodically and just and tasteful and just unbelievable.
Yeah, Jeff Beck and Steve Vai, man, those two guys they're just, you know, out of this world when they play. You know, their creative expression on guitar is just amazing to me.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And then I'm a huge prog rock fan, believe it or not. I love, you know, from, you know, Yes, Genesis, Gentle Giant, King Crimson, Robert Fripp. I mean, I'm into all these very, you know, creative guitarists. I've always, you know, Steve Hackett, Steve Morse, Steve Howe, all the Steves, you know, something about Steve.
Definitely. You know, like a lot of classic rock. I'm a huge classic rock fan, and you know, I always talk about Peter Frampton, Angus Young of AC/DC, Ted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of course, Jimi Hendrix, of course, and you know, these guys are just timeless with their licks. And when you hear them on a track, you already know who it is. I mean, you don't have to guess. I mean, it's just that, you know, their sonic signature on the axe is just ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely! I love that. You know.
You know,
it's all about, you know, the personality, you know, of each guitarist.
Totally.
That's great.
Totally. You know, I was going to say, man, you know, you have a lot of stage experience, and you also have a lot of studio experience, and I feel that every musician or producer or writer has that zone for creativity where they can just, you know, keep going on and on, freedom of expression with their compositions. Do you find that on stage or in the studio?
You know, it's funny you say that. I do a really different way of that I approach my writing. I actually try all my songs out live before I actually fully on bring them to recording. You know, I change arrangements because when you play live, you know, when you play music in front of people, it changes completely. And I you know, I know a lot of artists feel the same way. All of a sudden you're on stage and the song takes on a whole other form than it does when you're working in the studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds great in the studio, but it doesn't. But all of a sudden, when you put it in front of people, it makes you think differently. And so what I do is I take these, you know, these songs, and I try them out. I do a solo gig when I'm not touring, kind of under the radar, you know.
Sure.
Just for this reason, just so I could try out new songs, and sometimes I'll come back with an idea. You know, the next day I'll wake up and then I'll come back in and I go, you know, I like the way I played the melody because you hear differently when you're playing live in front of people. And so every album I've done that to the songs. I've tested them.
That's an excellent idea, man. I'm writing that down.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Oh, good. Yeah, it makes sense because then that way, you know, the people are involved in the making of you know, how they're responding to what you're doing. And it really, to me, says a lot, you know, about the audiences when they're hearing something for the first time. I mean,
sure.
They could either, you know, hear it and go, yeah, that's okay, or yeah, whatever. But sometimes you play something and they just respond instantly and you know, ah, I'm onto something here. And then you come back with whole other ideas.
So are you pre-rehearsing the tracks before you're going on stage? I mean, or is this kind of like improvising as a band as you go, then you kind of recording what you guys are doing live and then going back and kind of putting all the pieces together from the recordings on stage?
Yeah, well, you know what I do is I do a lot of programming. I do the drum programming, the bass. I play everything myself. And in the writing process, this is kind of in the writing process when I expose these live. And then I play solo. I do a solo gig. So what I do is I bring in, you know, like a track. And then I'll see if the groove works right. You know, everything's kind of has to meld in a certain way. And it really projects in front of an audience better, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the groove's not right, you know. So I'll go in and then try to work on that. And then sometimes I just go, you know what, when we go into the studio with a live drummer, then he'll probably have a totally different, you know, interpretation of the tune, you know.
Yeah.
And put his personality into it. So I really, because I'm a seeker of that. I'm always trying to, you know, find what's best for the song for both recording and live. You know, because I spend so much time on the road and doing a lot of live shows, I want to take my albums so they're flexible in the live element, because I know a lot of times artists don't, you know, they write in studio and then they go and play live and they've never tested the stuff. And that was always like baffling to me, you know, because sometimes some songs just don't work live.
Sure.
You know, even though they sound great, you know that.
Oh, I mean, totally.
And so I like it. I like the albums where I could play every song live, but yet it still works on the recording.
Right.
You know, if that makes any sense. And then a lot of times we'll lengthen songs out and, you know, in the live setting, for solos or maybe, you know, a drum solo or a keyboard solo or whatever, or a percussion solo or something, you know.
Sure.
Just to, you know, to improv a little bit, and which is always fun. And we do change that element, you know, as we're touring and going.
Nice.
But I love doing that, and I love testing the songs, you know.
Oh, no, that's a great method, man. And again, I'm definitely going to try that out. You know, I work with a couple of artists, man, who are getting ready to hit the stage and do a couple of shows. And, you know, I'm always real tough on them about rehearsing and things. But, you know, taking some of the new material that we haven't actually recorded yet, testing out on the audience, and then maybe going back to the studio and restructure some things, that definitely will be helpful, man. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you will hear it differently.
Yeah, totally.
It's amazing how that is, but it works.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what is on the musical agenda for 2010, Steve? I mean, we got the new CD that's just unbelievable. I mean, is any other productions in the work, other artists that you're producing, or are you really just focusing on your projects right now?
Well, you know, I do work with a lot of people. I just played with, I played on Bob Baldwin, great keyboard player. Played on his new project. I did a scat and guitar's scatting solo on one of his tunes. And I'm working with a keyboard player who actually played on my album. His name is Nate Harrison, amazing keyboard player, up-and-coming producer, songwriter. And I'm playing on his project and helped co-write. And but I pretty much, you know, do my thing. I spend a lot of time... You know, that's all I do all day is write music. I mean, when I'm home, you know, when I'm not touring, I'm always thinking of the next project. But I'm real excited about this, you know, the Global Kids project, because right now the song is number 6 on the radio charts.
Wow.
It's doing amazing. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's doing really, really good. Fun in the Sun is the name of the track on the new Global Kids project. And then... and then it's been in the top 10 on Amazon.com sales chart. It's just been doing really, really well, and we've been real happy with that. And so we're going to be touring, a lot this year and next year also for this new project. And I'm working on a guitar album. I've been getting a lot of requests because I love like the new age guitar players like Michael Hedges and Will Ackerman, and you know, that kind of vibe where it's about a vibe and real melodic, you know, very mood kind of thing. So sure. I'm working on an album right now. I'm recording that for maybe next year, you know, maybe or 2012.
Wow.
And so I'm really diving into that and really loving that because I've been getting a lot of requests for that. That kind of mood album, you know,
sure.
but yet very creative, you know. Oh, yeah. And very melodic. So
gotta have that sometimes, you know, get you out the box and think out the box creatively, you know what I mean? Because the cool stuff is outside the box to me, you know?
Oh, it always is. I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
Well, Steve, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Man, I would love to have you back and talk about your new endeavor, especially with the new CD that you're going to work on. I would definitely love to check that out and, you know, talk about how you put that together.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man, this has been great, Spud. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I'm definitely going to have you back, man. We'll sit there and chop it up again.
Anytime.
Appreciate it. Well, you take it easy, man, and best of luck to you in the future.
Oh, all the best to you, too.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
All right, bye.
Bye. And a big shout out to Steve Oliver for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. You know, it was a real true honor for me to have him on my show. I've been listening to his music for a while, and you know, just to have that one-on-one time from one musician to another, man, it was just, you know, true inspiration and again, a huge honor. And for more information on Steve Oliver, you need to check out his website. It's a very interactive website with a lot of information and some great videos that he's posted up as well. And that's at www.steveolivermusic.com. And again, that's www.steveolivermusic.com. And for all the new fans and existing fans, check out his album, Global Kiss, and it's available now. Excellent album. I highly recommend it. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit me up at myspace.com/SpudsNewZone. And again, that's myspace.com/SpudsNewZone. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast. So if you have an iPhone or a computer, pull up the iTunes application, go to the iTunes store and type in the Producers Corner, click on my image, and you'll have a list of my past and current interviews as well. And for questions and suggestions, you can also hit my email up at spudtootight@gmail.com. And again, that's spudtootight@gmail.com. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening in. And until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.